Welcome to New York Matters. I'm Kelly Ford, and with me right now is Michael Solomon, co-founder of Musicians on Call. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, Kelly. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Big fan of Musicians on Call, Michael. Very familiar with it here in the tri-state and also in Nashville, where there are a lot of musicians, because obviously the mission centers around artists bringing their music, both live and recorded, to the bedsides of sick patients and healthcare facilities here in the tri-state. How and why did you come up with this idea?
So the organization's 20 years old this year. And we started it, Vivek Tiwari and I, who's an old friend, we had both lost people to cancer. And I had been part of starting an organization called the Kristen Ann Carr Fund, which is named after my girlfriend who died at 21, 25 years ago. And he had lost his mom. And when he sort of got over the immediate grieving process, said, "I'm ready to do something. What should we do?" And around the same time, Barbara Carr, who co-manages Bruce Springsteen and was Kristen's mother, took us to Memorial Sloan Kettering with Wynton Marsalis, who played in a recreation room for a large audience of maybe, 50, 60 patients. And we thought, oh, well, we can do this. This is easy enough. So we brought a couple of musicians. I was managing people professionally at the time. And we brought them in, and we were having smaller crowds in the same recreation room. And then this one night, a nurse came out when we were done and packing up and said, "There are a few patients here who are too ill to come down to this room. Is there any chance you would go to their room with us?" And the musician said, "Sure." And we said, "Sure." And that experience that night took what we were doing, which was nice and important in the sort of group setting, and bringing it into the individual room was sort of the magic moment, the aha moment. The air in the room changed. The entire experience was it was life changing. I mean, we literally wrote the business plan that night for what would become this organization. And there have been a lot of twists and turns. And as you just alluded to, we're spreading all over the country in 20 major markets and about another 25 secondary markets, with big plans coming up. Our next 20 years are going to dwarf this first 20.
We talk about the healing powers of music, but there literally is research that shows physiological improvement.
When someone hears music, for instance, their blood pressure lowers.
There's so much data coming out now, and it's actually becoming a rapidly growing field about how, we're starting to get specific about what it does. I mean, you just talked about blood pressure. There's research about recovery times, people in recovery rooms after surgery getting out faster if they have music.
And even faster if it's country music.
Of course. and we're seeing and we're being approached with some regularity by people who are doing this work to share their data with us. And it's going to be a very big, important part of our future, because we're going to not just have this is really nice and this helps healing and the healing power of music. And we're going to have hard numbers, and they're already coming out. There was a documentary film, recently about the power of music as it relates to Alzheimer's and getting through to patients who never otherwise respond. We've personally seen dozens of times myself where the hospital staff said that person has not had any interaction with a human being in months or years, and then the musician comes in and they tap their foot or they sing, or all of a sudden they perk up and start speaking. I mean, the results are magnificent. And it doesn't just heal the patients, it heals the caregivers, it heals the hospital staff, the doctors, the nurses, the aides. We've seen tremendous results. And then there's the biggest surprise of the whole thing, which I didn't know enough at age when we started it. We were both in our 20s that I hadn't figured out yet, which is it actually does maybe the most for the musicians. The musicians, mm-hmm. We thought we were starting a program for patients and their families, and we did, and we are. But what we've discovered over the years is the musicians have the most amazing experiences and recant them in beautiful ways. We now have multiple songs and albums that have been written and inspired by this, including several Grammy-nominated pieces of work. And it's just, it's real. Like, that was the big surprise that we never realized was involved. And of course now, 20 years later, I know as an individual that there's nothing you can do to make yourself feel better than helping other people. So
that's kind of the overriding theme of every charity organization I interview for New York Matters or work with, for that matter, is you think you're helping someone else as a volunteer, but you end up helping yourself way more.
Yeah, it still feels like a secret, and I know it's sort of like out in the world, but I kind of want to like hit everybody over the head with it, because if you could imagine a world where everybody realized that the most value they could get for themselves was by helping other people, the world would look like a really different place.
And boy, the level of artists that participate in this, I mean, we could just, well, let's go down the list. Let's just do a list of some of the biggest names who help musicians on call.
I mean, the list is truly astounding, and we actually have one on our website, but to just name a few, Bruce Springsteen really helped us get started. We were given front row tickets that we auctioned off, and that was literally how we funded the first several years of operations, and we've had tickets to many tours since then. James Taylor, Maroon 5, John Mayer, Keith Urban, Luke Bryan, Kelly Clarkson, Darius Rucker's done a gazillion things for us, Lady Antebellum. I mean, the list is, it's really like, I would both blush, which you can't see on radio, and embarrass myself and us if we actually read the whole list. There are probably more major artists that have participated than not.
Is it as easy as picking up the phone and making a call, or is it still a little tougher than that?
It's still a little tougher than that. I think the general public fails to realize how many wonderful opportunities are presented to name brand artists to help people on a daily basis. There are a gazillion organizations that are always offering them wonderful opportunities. This is the thing that's a little bit unique about this is it's very short, and there's lots of ways for them to help. They really feel what they do because they see the reaction on people's faces. They see the reaction on people's faces who really need it. Like, you can tell this isn't somebody who's just down on their luck. This is somebody who's really dealing with serious issues. We do programs in veterans facilities, and we do programs in all different kinds of facilities, so that, you know, if a particular artist has a disease or a cause or a population that they really care about, We can tailor their program visit around that, which is one of the things that I just love about how easy it is to facilitate that process. And one of the things that we created that helps address that kind of issue is we do have a virtual program where we use video conferencing technology so that we can sort of beam people around to different places. And we're working on a platform that will really help us expand the programming much more nationally and internationally than even we have so far.
I mean, the fact that so many superstars step up to help out is a huge testament to your mission. But the heart and soul of Musicians on Call seems to be artists, songwriters, and musicians who people probably haven't heard of.
The core of our program are working musicians who are not household names, who go in week after week. I mean, some of them do this 50 times a year, and they love it, and they are so committed. It's unbelievable. When we first started the program, we actually had a plan where we were going to pay for people's transportations, and after a little while, the musicians were like, I'll get myself there. Put that money to growing the program. They didn't want it. Like, they just are so committed, and it's such an amazing thing to see. And our staff that runs the programs, that runs the organization, is also incredible and committed. And, you know, I have to sort of brag because we were just named the number 6th not best place to work by one of the major, one of the leading nonprofit publications in the country. And that's, you know, we're a very small organization compared to, you can imagine that list includes, you know, the Red Cross and Boys and Girls Clubs and the YMCA. I mean, we're tiny, American Cancer Society. So it was amazing to be included in that list and so high up on that list.
That says a lot. And for people listening who might be inspired to donate, your numbers as far as the metrics of how much actually goes to the charity, pretty amazing too.
Yes, we would love for anybody who's interested to donate and come contact us. We will go through everything with you. We have incredible transparency and reporting, and we are now a really data-driven organization where every decision we make and everything we do is informed by what we've learned and by the numbers. And that doesn't mean that we've gotten away from being a very personal, hands-on, touchy-feely organization, because that's what we do, but we do it now with tremendous amounts of data to support our decision making. For an organization that provides services, that's a huge number. For an organization that just gives out money, that's a very low number. But for what we do, it is an incredibly high number that we're very proud of. Our fundraising costs are very low, and we stand among the best organizations in the country in this regard, and we have the highest rating that exists on Charity Navigator and GuideStar, which are two of the nonprofit services. Like we Better Business Bureaus. Like we're beautiful in that regard.
That's awesome. Let's talk specifically about the hospitals you serve here, the organizations you work with Musicians on Call.
So we started at Memorial Sloan Kettering, and we still have programs there. We expanded from there to a significant number of institutions in the New York area. One of my proudest moments as a founder who really rolled up sleeves in the early days was the day that I could no longer name all of the hospitals that we're in.
It's a good problem.
Now I can no longer name the cities that we're in. But I actually couldn't. I'd have to get a list to, and they're all on the website of the programs. But we have, I believe it's 65 weekly programs now, and roughly 20 of those are in the New York area. We've served 700,000 people at this point.
Michael Solomon is the co-founder of Musicians on Call. Michael, is there one story that stands out in your 20 years of doing this that illustrates the mission of Musicians on Call?
There are so many. And one of the things that I found is every time that I go on a visit, which usually is 2 hours of going room to room, I always walk out with a story. You know, we started doing videos where we say, I visited 22 patients today, and this is the one I want to tell you about. And of course, we don't use names. Mm-hmm. The story that comes first to mind goes back to the very beginnings. It's either the first or one of the first visits we did, and we walked into a room where it was a family who spoke no English, and they had just been told that their adolescent child was going to have a leg amputated because the cancer was not contained. And the feeling that we walked into in that room was dour. And when I say they spoke no English, I mean there was zero communication that could be done with traditional language. And the musician we were with that day played a Beatles song. Mm. And we watched the room change. We watched basically this one song take people from one of the worst moments of their lives to realizing that, I don't want to say everything is going to be okay, but to realizing that it wasn't all, like there was a silver lining, there was light, there were going to be other happy times. And that was a really, really, really powerful, life-changing moment. And if I told you that between those of us who do this, we have 1,000 stories like that, I'd probably be underestimating. I mean, we see that stuff so regularly.
What's on the horizon for Musicians on Call for the 20th celebration year?
We're working on an event for this fall in New York that is going to be very exciting and has details that I can't reveal yet.
Ooh.
So more to come on that. It's going to be a really fun event and celebration. One of the things that I'm pretty proud of about our events is they are not the typical rubber chicken dinners with endless speeches and dreadfully boring nights. We want to make sure that they're fun, and people who come to them come not just out of obligation, but because it's a fun night.
There is a Musicians on Call pharmacy. Tell me about that.
So we have a music pharmacy where we bring, it started out as a CD pharmacy, but those are not so popular anymore.
Now they're coasters.
Right. And now we have devices, players that go into healthcare facilities with headphones and get lent out to patients so that they can have music in their rooms at all times. And we also have some really curated playlists, which is something we're going to be expanding on, that are built around mood and around healing and also around genre. So we'll be able to really help somebody where they are rather than them having to come to somebody else's kind of music.
Well, y'all are certainly doing something right. 700,000 patients, families, and caregivers performed for, and that and counting. That increases every day.
And not only does it increase every day, it increases geometrically because we serve more people. Every month we grow our programs, or every year we grow our programs. So that number is not just a flat line that we've achieved. That number just keeps growing and growing. And as we launch this initiative that I alluded to earlier and expand, you know, nationally and internationally, that number is going to go completely through the roof. So it's a really exciting time.
Obviously, there are opportunities for musicians to volunteer for Musicians on Call in the Tri-State. Tell me a little bit about that and other ways that people listening can help you out.
Sure. So there's three fundamental ways that we can use your listeners' help. The first is musicians volunteering and coming to play at programs. At various times, we have long waiting lists because there are so many people who want to do this. We're doing our best to grow as quickly as possible, which is going to lead to the third one, but I'll insert first. The second one is for people who aren't musicians who want to volunteer. We do have a guide that goes around with the musician and escorts them. And one of the things that guide does is they ask the patient and their families, would you like, we have a volunteer musician here, would you like a song? And even the rooms where they say no, not today, or no, thank you, we've actually done a great service to them because there's very few people in a healthcare facility who walk in and offer you something. They usually come in and say, I'm here to take your blood pressure, I'm here to take your blood, I'm here to take your urine, I'm here to take whatever they're going to do.
Good point.
And just giving them a little control about their day is a big plus. So the volunteer guides who go around with the musicians, and they're the ones who get to see all of this happen. They have the greatest stories, and they are also so moved by their experiences. And then, of course, the last one is financial support. We are growing. We have huge initiatives and huge plans, and they all take a lot of money. And the faster we raise that money, the faster we can expand those plans, the more musicians we can deploy, the more people we can play for. It's a pretty simple concept.
What do you wish people knew about Musicians on Call that maybe they haven't learned in this interview?
One of the things that happened after the horrible shooting in Las Vegas is our team, our staff, became, even though this isn't what we've ever done before, became a rapid response unit. And in 6 or 7 days' time, with no budget and no planning or anything, got a bunch of musicians back out to Vegas and to the hospital where the shooting victims had been taken, and played for people who really needed it most, at a time where they needed it most. And the reason our team went for that the way they did is because those were people who were enjoying music when they were attacked. The stories, I was not out there, the stories that and the video that I saw of that experience was really unbelievable. Those people were, you know, not just the patients, the hospital staff. I mean,
traumatized.
Totally. I mean, no one ever expects, if you're not in a war, to deal with that kind of mass casualty situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, the numbers there were just, it's inconceivable. So the results of that visit, which none of us could have ever predicted, was that the Academy of Country Music gave us a major grant for the first 3 years of a program in Vegas. And it's just another example of when you do good things happen. And we were obviously thrilled and surprised. And it was, you know, that was a game changer. So we now have a program in Vegas.
I did not know that. So I'm glad you shared that. And it really speaks to your mission, which is a world filled with the healing power of music.
Michael Solomon, co-founder of Musicians on Call, to donate or to volunteer if you know someone who might benefit from the great work they do, go to musiciansoncall.org. Thank you, Michael.
Kelly, thank you for having me.